Hi, this is Dave, and it's been 3 years since we launched Galactic Netcasts. And over that time, some shows have come and gone, but the one thing that stayed the same is our commitment to you, the best listeners on the internet. And that's why we're asking for your help. For as little as $1 a month, you can help us build the best sci-fi, science, and geek culture-based podcast network in the galaxy. And all you have to do is go to patreon.com/galacticnetcasts. That's Patreon, patreon.com/galacticnetcasts. Thank you for your support, and on with the show!
We interrupt this program to give you a bulletin just received from one of our naval units at sea. A large object traveling at supersonic speed is headed over the North Atlantic toward the east coast of the United States.
This earth of yours will be reduced to a burned out cinder.
This could be the beginning of the end for the human race. Human beings cower before the onslaught of these unearthly enemies.
It is Thursday, August 14th, 2014. Welcome to another Galactic Netcast. This is the Alien Invasion number 114. In Ottawa, Ontario, Canada, I'm Dave Nelson. Joining me, as always, Brad Ludwig, Anessa Moyens in Wausau, Wisconsin. How are you guys doing?
Awesome.
Good.
Awesome and good. So, seems like there's a disparity there someplace. Brad's awesome, you're good. So let's meet in the middle. What's a word that we can use between awesome and good?
Gawesome.
Great.
Great. I like Brad's for the word, but I think Anessa's more appropriate for the middle, finding an actual word that would go in the middle of those two. Right?
Woohoo.
I don't know. I'm not feeling it.
Gawesome. So you're gawesome.
Everything is gawesome.
All right.
Everything is cool
Everything
when you're part
is
of a team.
Gawesome.
And then if you were really religious, it would be godsome, right?
No.
I don't know.
Yes, that would work.
I don't know.
It's almost like Godspeed.
Yeah.
That is kind of a weird word, right? Godspeed.
Yeah. It's like, all right, see ya, good luck, whatever, get out of here, Godspeed.
Well, sounds like you're probably going to die, so hope you go to heaven quick.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, all right. This is the show where we talk about beings from elsewhere in the universe, the entire universe. We're talking the existence of space and time and everything, and their appearances in film, TV, video games, comic books, science, real life, could go on and on. The show is broke down into three sections. The news, the craft corner, that's our spotlight of a certain particular kind of alien spacecraft, and our picks for the week. If you want to watch us record the show live, we start usually around 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central Time. Thursdays normally could be Wednesday, so the best thing that you can do is follow us on Google Plus, Facebook, and Twitter, and we'll put something out saying when and where we're going live. So that's how you want to do that, and this is how we want to do this right here. I can't hear anything. Can you guys hear anything?
No.
I'm supposed to be playing things, but I'm not hearing anything. What's going on?
I'm not hearing anything either.
That's weird. Hang on one second. Let me see if my audio settings are goofed up here. So that may be the case. Maybe my audio settings could be a problem.
Maybe.
Hang on one second here. All right, let's try this. Let's try this again. All right. Hey, that's weird. My soundboard's not working.
Boo!
Oh, I think it's the website. I don't think it's my computer. Hang on.
Aw.
Let me reload that page. This is making for a great beginning to the show.
It's awesome beginning to the show.
Yeah. So if this doesn't
Could
work,
be worse.
If this doesn't work, then we'll just kind of we'll insert them post.
In the news.
That's pretty good. Maybe we'll just go with that from now on.
Totally.
That was a very sad rendition. In the news.
No, it's perfect. No, I like it better than the original, actually.
He's just going to pull that audio out and just use it from now on.
Yep.
All right, so this is not loading. Well, okay. One more try here. Hang on.
All right.
Yeah, it's not working for some reason. All right, so we'll just one more time, Brad. Let's play the intro.
In the news.
Thank you, Brad. And you're up first. What do you got for us in the world of E.T. this week?
Let's see. I'm sorry. Now I need to have my page. Say, this is a follow-up to the story that we had last week. Whoops. As I hit the cord on my headset, I apologize. Follow-up to the story that we had last week about Chile having... There were some miners that came forth and said, hey, we've got pictures. We had a UFO sighting. Here's some information. Here's some documentation. And the authorities said, great. And will you testify to this? Will you allow your names to be put to this? And
okay.
They went, no.
Brad, I have a question before you continue. Are you talking miners, people under the age of 18? Or are you talking people that take minerals out of the earth? That kind of mine.
Minerals out of the dirt.
Okay. Just clarifying.
Their chosen profession is to go underground and or strip mine and remove minerals and or coal or whatever and sell them.
Deposits, so. If you will.
Aw, yeah. So, anyways, they did not want to come forward with their names, and everybody went, oh, that really doesn't lend much credibility to this, and this is some great documentation and imagery, and we've really kind of put together a strong case. So what's ended up happening is is Chile's civil aviation department has actually, and I don't know if this is coincidental or if the incident kind of prompted this to happen, but they actually put together a grouping of people, and by people I mean astronomers and people from the Nuclear Energy Commission that deal with nuclear chemistry, and a doctor in aerospace medicine who is also a UN representative and a physicist and an Army psychologist and an Air Force psychologist. So they got all of these people together and they sat down and they started with the premise that this is real, that UFOs are real, and there is no stigma in Chile or in South America or in some other parts of the world about UFOs. You know, you're not automatically labeled as a kook if you mention that, hey, I saw a UFO and here's some pictures. That seems to be more of a American thing, and I'll get to that a little later on in the story here. So they got all of these specialists and scientists together, and they sat down and they went over some of some things that they, starting with that premise that UFOs are real, they wanted to go over the information that they have accumulated and come up with maybe reasons why there are UFOs. What are the purpose to UFOs? And they sat down, and here's some excerpts that they had from this meeting and some of the conclusions that they drew. One of the things that they said is, as many witnesses have declared, they demonstrate intelligent behavior, and if we admit this fact, then we must look at the intention behind that intelligence. And what they looked at is there have been no attacks. A UFO is not engaged, an aircraft or people, at least in this part of the world, and have not attacked them. So at that point, they've come to the conclusion that they're really, if they are here, they are investigating things, but there is no evil intent to what they are doing. A Navy captain from Naval Aviation from Chile said, aside from any natural distractions to flight crews, the risks have so far been null. So, again, I'm kind of going back to the there's no malicious intent. A radio control chief said, in aeronautics, we have to measure risk scientifically, and we have all the tools for that. We have to establish a risk matrix considering possibility and probability. The risk level for these alien contacts has not been analyzed. It can be measured and given probabilities, and this level is very low based on the data that they have. So this the main person that put this together, trying to find, I have his last name, Blanco. Well, that seems kind of sketchy, doesn't it? Blanco is one of the highest officials actually on the front lines when UFO sightings were reported to ground control in Chile. In 2012, he was interviewed at the Radar Center in Santiago, and he showed the logbook where UFO sightings are initially recorded before being sent to their administration that oversees aeronautics. It's the CEFAA. Excuse me. Reports are written by hand to assure they are not tampered with or affected by computer transfer, and to provide a clear record of who actually wrote the entry. Some more comments from the meeting. Let's see. The DGAC expert on accident investigations stated, "Until now, in practice, we have seen only the effects, and those we have captured through photographs, videos, official reports, testimonies, etc. And thus, we are able to say the phenomenon exists, but its origin we have not defined. And without this definition, we cannot establish a strategy to counteract it. I've spoken with pilots who have had sightings. So far, none has experienced undue concern, just plain curiosity." And the nuclear chemist that was a part of that panel said, "If our civilian and military pilots are well informed about alien contacts, the risk due to distraction will come down to a minimum because the surprise factor will not be there. Judging from global statistics, the number of aircraft that have allegedly been involved with an accident with a UFO would represent a tiny fraction of the accidents caused by birds." Like I said at the beginning of this, they have come into this meeting with the established notion that these are real. So all these comments that they're making aren't weird. They might be weird by American standards, but going in with that premise that they had for this meeting, this makes a lot of sense. And this meeting was just really fascinating. And when I saw this story, I had to grab it, because the whole mindset that the Chilean government has, and a lot of – I remember reading another part of this article that I think I cut out. They actually are working with France, who has kind of the same take on this, that they recognize that UFOs exist, that they are real. And they actually worked with Chile to kind of give them some of their information, some of their data that they've obtained, and to help with this meeting, and perhaps do something like that in Europe. So,
no, it's very interesting. Didn't think about, have never thought of it that way. Like, when you think about it, there hasn't been a lot of like accidents or any kind of attack that I can think of, that I in my memory of stories that I've heard about alien encounters, not really that many, if any, attacks. So that makes sense that they're not dangerous.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think they've ever attacked that I can think of. I mean, we've had people go after them and whatnot, but nothing where they've really done anything back towards us aside from stopping our watches or whatever.
Yeah, you know what I was thinking? I was just thinking something. You put this along with abductions, and it's almost like the aliens are, we're living inside like a zoo, right? Like some kind of animal enclosure, like that they go to visit or they go to study us, right?
Mm-hmm.
They'll come in, yep. They'll dip their toes in once in a while. They'll be like the divers that swim with the dolphins, you know?
Sure.
They have once in a while encounters, right? So I think, yep. I think that us humans are like circus animals to them, zoo animals to them, in a way.
Yeah, probably. I want to close with the last two paragraphs of this thing, because it's very interesting. Momentum is building for more governments to address the UFO problem, and many eyes are on the United States. Through the smallest change in position, our government has the potential to play a crucial role in lifting the stigma against research, thereby paving the way to a possible resolution to the problem. The Chilean meeting serves as an example of one country's success in working with the UFO issue at high levels and its ability to integrate a serious approach throughout the country. This story is from the HuffPo. So
that's it's really interesting how so many issues. The U.S. stigmatizes a lot of issues that other countries in the world have no problem with. It seems like they get their panties in a wad over just the things that other countries are like, oh, it's no big deal. You know, we have encounters. It happens. You know, we've been, you know, following UFO encounters and that kind of thing for years. And, you know it happens, but we don't make a big deal out of it, or we don't deny it. It seems like the U.S. are big deniers here in the U.S.
We yep. deny just about everything.
Yeah.
Like, you ask them a question, and they're like, no comment.
Yeah.
That didn't happen.
Yeah.
This didn't happen. You didn't see anything. And, I mean, a lot of these stories that you see are coming out of Chile. I saw something that made reference to UFOs in Peru, and there's Canada, and there's Britain, and there's France, and there's just all sorts of other places that are open about it, and their government will say, yeah, here's a list of things that we've seen. We don't know what they are. Here you go. Have at it.
Yeah.
And it's not just like five words on a sheet of paper that hasn't been blacked out. So
is it possible that the U.S. had like a bad experience with aliens a long time ago? Maybe it was 1947. Maybe it was Roswell.
I was going to say Roswell. Yeah.
And that's why they have this like denial thing about it, you know? Maybe they know more than the rest of the world.
Well, I don't know if they necessarily know more than the rest of the world, but maybe it was just people's reactions at that point in time here in the U.S., and maybe they thought, well, when they first got reports of UFOs, you know, everyone got into a huff. People really freaked out about Orson Welles' War of the Worlds, and they were probably thinking they're just not ready for it, so we're just going to say that it's a weather balloon and move on, and from here on out, we're just not going to mention anything.
Yeah, I guess that's been the case for other things, too, where the government sets their policy and stays with it. So maybe this is just, there needs to be a policy shift.
Right, like maybe there was something that initially prompted the policy, and that could have been our reaction to Roswell, and they just realized they're not really ready for it, especially in the later years when you've got the whole Cold War thing going on with Russia. That didn't exactly help things, and you don't want to worry about UFOs and Russia.
Yeah, yeah,
so they're like, oh, they don't exist. Let's just look at these commies over here. You better not be one, sort of thing. And that's just where they went.
Maybe
stuck
this
with their policy of not mentioning anything about UFOs.
Maybe this will be like every other issue or the big issues of the day that the U.S. is softening their opinion on or their policy on, like, you know, marijuana, gay marriage. Maybe this is one of the things that they'll eventually come around and say, hey, you know, it's okay that you believe in UFOs. Or, you know, we've had experience with aliens. Here's what we know, kind of thing.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah, you never know. Maybe later on down the road, they'll say, hey, let's give this UFO thing another try. Don't panic.
Everything's
Here's everything
cool.
that we found, and this time we're not going to Sharpie out half the paper that just says, like, I like cats. That's how you get out of it.
All right. Good.
Because, I mean, you look at the documents, and you've got, like, the date and the place and the names of things and the description of things, like, all just marked out, and so you end up with just a handful of words that don't really mean anything.
Yeah, here's your freedom of information right here. This page full of marked...
Good luck.
Yeah.
Sharpie it out, and then we made a copy, so you can't, like, look at it and try to figure out what it said. So, haha.
All right. Good stuff, Brad. Thank you very much. That was very informative. We had a great discussion on that. Before we move on, I want to test my computer to see if it's working all right. So, let me play a little bit of this right here. Tell me if you hear this. Stand by. Ooh, I think it's my computer. Things are not playing. Mm-hmm. Oh, there it is. Okay.
Well, there we go.
Is that a roar?
That was an angry MGM lion.
Yes, exactly. Hey, that can be a new feature. Dave plays a sound effect, and you guys figure out where it's from.
Nice.
Yay!
Okay, how about let's do another one here. Hang on.
Oh, Canada.
Okay, here's something that's more fitting right here. Anybody ringing in?
Oh, it's Twilight Zone. Absolutely.
Yeah? Yeah, okay.
We were just caught up in the actual tune. We're like, oh, yay!
All right, let's move on to our third story. And what you got there, Anessa?
Ooh, it's my turn?
Yeah.
Third story? Second story.
No, you're the second story.
I'm the second story. Like, wait, what? Okay, second story. So, I came across this story the other day, and then yesterday one of my best friends posted it on the Facebook, and I was like, hey, Anessa, check it out. She tagged Brad, too. And then I saw it on Facebook day again, and I'm like, fine, I will talk about this story. And so the story is basically about a video that was released, I guess, earlier this week that shows Google Moon images, and basically... The question is if these images that we're seeing are showing an alien and its shadow on the surface of the moon. The YouTube user, or person, named Wow For Real, which I'm pretty sure we've shown at least one or two of his videos in the past that were like, hey, look at this thing. Is this what you see? And anyway, like, this video has seen more than a couple million times in a month. Okay, so it came out earlier in the month. And according to Australia 9's news, the owner of the YouTube channel said that he started investigating the shadow after receiving an online tip from another web user. So Wow For Real likes to look into these UFO-type sightings and whatnot. Not just UFOs, but a lot of satellite imagery, like, oh, there's this really big object under the ice in Antarctica sort of thing.
Hey, Brad. Sorry, Anessa. Can you put it up on the screen for our viewers to see?
Sure.
And so the video itself is of Google Moon. Someone's navigating the area. They look up a certain coordinate, and then they go to that coordinate using Google's Moon software. And the images that are used to create the Google Moon comes from NASA. And NASA hasn't really said anything about what they believe the image to show, but it does look like a being standing on the surface of the moon with a shadow behind him, possibly. But I don't know. Brett has it up on his screen.
I do.
If people are watching or happen to check out the video later. But you have a nice silhouette. You've got a clearly defined head, shoulders, and then legs. And then behind the person is like a little, I guess it'd be kind of like a shadow. It kind of looks like a shadow, just a bit distorted. I kind of think it's a glitch in the image. Maybe something to do with the camera that was used, or just a software glitch upon recording. But to me, it looks like the whole thing is a shadow and not really a standalone image with a shadow.
Yeah, when I saw this, it reminded me of, if anybody here has either seen or read The Watchmen, the DC...
I've seen. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the DC comic, it was a 12-issue maxi series that Alan Moore did in the, mid to late 80s. And one of the characters, Dr. Manhattan, is a... it was a human being that was like destroyed in an atomic test, and he managed to reassemble his body atom by atom, and he kind of transcended being human. And one of the things that he did is he ended up creating a place on Mars to get away from people. So there's this like iconic scene where he's standing on Mars, and it's just, you know, that whole Martian desert wasteland, and he's just standing there, and this dust is sort of falling from his footsteps behind him. And this image kind of looks like he's walking, or it reminded me of Dr. Manhattan walking on the surface of Mars, because that's the kind of the interpretation that you get in looking at the way this is it's a person that is looking at this. If you're looking at the image, they're walking up towards the left-hand corner, in the upper left-hand corner of the image. And that's kind of the way they're facing. And if they were walking, that's how the path that they would take according to this image. And it is just really kind of fascinating to look at. And this is going to end up probably being just like the face on Mars. You know, it's just a topographical illusion, essentially. But still, it's just really kind of an amazing thing to see. And when you look at that, you'd really think that it is somebody walking on the moon.
Oh, the other thing, too, is if you look at the shadow, it's maybe at a slightly different angle than the rest of the shadows from the nearby features.
Yeah, I noticed that, too.
So it doesn't really line up if it is indeed a shadow. It would be from a completely different light source.
Or maybe it is an alien, but it's not an actual shadow. It's an actual alien. It just looks like a shadow.
That's a possibility as well. I'm not going to rule it out.
I'm just throwing it out there, you know?
Yeah.
Let's bring up all the possibilities here.
Because that's the name of our show.
Yeah. Alien
yeah,
invasion.
I think people should take a look and see what they think and see if they think it is. If it is some sort of alien being hanging out on Mars, if it's Nazis hanging, or not Mars, but the moon, maybe Nazis hanging out on the moon, who knows? Or if it's just a glitch or a shadow off of some rock formations, maybe a rock landed on the moon, just not hard enough to cause the crater, and so we're looking at the shadows from it.
Yeah, there's been a lot of these from pictures from Mars, right? And they've all kind of been debunked eventually.
Yeah, there's been a lot on Mars and occasionally from the moon. But yeah, I don't really think it's an alien. Still cool to look at and think about.
Yeah, it could be Google.
I also kind of wonder about how close these images were taken by NASA. I'm guessing it's just from their satellite, but I don't know how far it is from the surface and if it would be able to catch an actual being from its distance.
Or, you know what, it could be the shadow of the spacecraft taking the picture too, right? Because I can't think of anything that would be on the moon that would cast that kind of shadow with the thin lines, right? So maybe it's like the antenna or the parts of the satellite or the whatever the spacecraft that's orbiting the moon taking the picture.
Could be. You never know. And just, you know, as you do, say, a panorama sort of thing, maybe it's automatically stitching images together, or maybe someone else from NASA stitches these images together, but because it was moving and its shadow is moving, it created this being-like shadow.
Yeah. Yeah, I think all these are possibilities. And I got one more for you. I think it's Google playing a trick on us. I think it's an Easter egg
it
of some
be.
Kind.
Because, I mean, you know, like there's all sorts of random things that Google does, including at one point you could put like, I want directions from Houston to like London. And it would tell you to drive to Florida and then hop in the water and swim a few thousand miles.
See, it's somebody that's going, hey, let's do this, or it's somebody at Google like, hey, let's mess with these.
And then you could do like, I know at some point there was something to do with Mordor, and it's like one does not simply walk to Mordor, but it was an actual store or building or something in the Northeast U.S.
That's
just
awesome.
Random crap that you find.
Hello.
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 Sorry, I hit the space key.
Oh, damn you. Damn you, Moines.
Yeah, random crap that you find with Google that they just hide, little Easter eggs and all their things. So this could be it.
All right.
Maybe they just want people to talk.
Or it's a great mystery. We'll never know.
You never know.
All right. Let's move. Before we move on to our third and final story, we would love your feedback on the stuff that we've talked about, the stories that we've discussed so far on this episode of the show, or on anything that we've talked about on previous shows. What do you think that shadow is on the moon? Let us know. Give us feedback, galacticnetcasts@gmail.com, or our voicemail number, which is 805-328-3966, 805-328-3966. We love hearing from our listeners and our viewers. And who knows, we'll put you, if you say something very interesting and profound, or, you know, if it's something that we could discuss on the show, we'll talk about it and we'll play your phone call or read your email. You never know. GalacticNetcasts@gmail.com. The voicemail number, 805-328-3966. All right. So I never know how to pronounce this guy's name. Liev Schreiber? Is it Liev Schreiber?
Schreiber.
It's
Liev.
Oh, Liev.
Liev Schreiber.
Okay, Liev Schreiber is in talks to join Chloe
Moretz.
Chloe Moretz in the fifth wave. You guys remember I talked about the fifth wave as a pick on a previous episode a long time ago? The fifth wave?
Yeah, it's a teen sort of a novel, like Twilight and whatnot, right?
Yeah, it's a young adult novel, and they're making it into a movie, and it's going to be Liev Schreiber and Chloe Moretz. And looking forward to this, because I really, really enjoy the book. And I guess the movie is going to be out January 29th, 2016. So they have an actual release date already on this. They're just not thinking about making it or working on, you know, the pre-production. They actually have a release date. And, you know, young adult story movies are hot right now. I mean, look at what's opening this weekend. The Giver, right? That's the name of it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's been Jeff Bridges' baby. You know, I listened to Jeff Bridges was just on the Nerdist podcast.
Really?
And he actually, and he doesn't know where it is, but he's been interested in making The Giver for 20 years. And there is somewhere some film footage that he put together with his dad playing the part that he is playing.
I saw an interview with him, and he said that he wanted his dad as doing that part that he's playing originally.
And he has been passionate about this, and he said that when he the opportunity came up to actually make it with the Weinsteins, and he's like, he had to make the choice: do I want this made, or do I want control of how this finally looks? And he, you know, made the call that he really wanted to have The Giver made, and he knew that he had to just kind of let some stuff go to finally get this done. So,
excellent.
It's really kind of cool.
Well, this story is interesting because it's about aliens invading, but it's more about the human story of one major character, and that's the one that Moretz is playing, Cassie Sullivan. She's basically the daughter of, or the daughter in this family that they all get separated. The father dies, the mother left, and her brother gets taken by these aliens. And that's what Liev Schreiber is going to play. He's going to play a high-ranking military official who turns out, spoiler, to be an alien in this story. It's actually aliens disguised as humans. But the five and the fifth wave is the actual ways that they made the humans eventually give up, the different ways that they attacked the Earth, which was, I'm trying to remember all of them. I think one of them was like some kind of chemical released in the atmosphere. Another one was...
Is this like a major spoiler or anything? Or...
Oh, yeah. I should probably hold off.
Because I've not read the book. Yeah. I own it. I'm just stopping you right there because I'm going to be pissed if you've already told me like all the big twists.
All right. So, yeah, I'll stop there. I'm sorry. I forgot that people
I'm
might
like,
actually...
Wait a second. I'm like... Because I don't want to know what the five waves are, because then there's no point in me reading the book.
Okay. All right. So I can guarantee you that you'll like it, Anessa. and you'll thank me for, I don't know, not spoiling it for you.
Not spoiling it?
And
yeah, you kept talking about it. I'm like, this is way more detail than just... Oh, yeah, it has to do with aliens, and these people are, you know, having to do with aliens and whatnot.
I was thinking about that when I was preparing this story, going, you know what? Some people may not want to know all the little fine details here, so it's going to be really hard to discuss if we don't talk about all the details.
Very general. Like, it's about aliens attacking Earth. Okay, fine.
And there's a lot of great twists, too. It's not just a straight-up alien invasion story. No. Humans...
Yeah, but I mean, you know, you could toss in, like, hey, there's a lot of twists. You should totally check it out. These people are going to be starring in it, these characters, but we're not going to tell you a great detail about the characters. And then people will be surprised whenever they go watch it and or read it.
Okay, so I'm going to clarify. I'm going to clarify something I said already about the human-looking aliens. That's not a big surprise. They don't hide the fact very long in the story, so that's not a big spoiler. All right, so don't worry about that. I'm just saying.
Okay.
All right.
Sweet.
Okay. So mark your calendar, circle the date, January 29th, 2016, is when the fifth wave hits theaters with Liev Schreiber. If anything, we learned from the story is how to pronounce Liev Schreiber's name, which I've been curious about for a long, long time.
Yep.
Thank you, Anessa.
And then watch him like pop up and be like, "Hey guys, you're saying my name wrong."
It's like the whole GIF thing.
Yeah, I still say GIF, even though it's GIF. Whatever.
Yeah, it's just dumb. It's graphic. Graphic.
Yeah.
But it's followed by a vowel.
Yeah.
It's followed by a bowel? What?
A bowel. Speaking of. Kidding.
All right. So that's your news this week. Let's move on to, God, I wish I had the intro for our next thing, but the soundboard's not working. Let me try it again just to see. See what happens this time. Yeah, still not working. And I don't know where it is on my computer, so...
It's like, I see these aliens up in the sky. They're floating around.
It looks like a human in the window. He's pointing with his finger.
There was two flying side by each. It was a couple tree or no? What's this all about?
I like our own made versions better. That's great.
You're welcome.
All right, Anessa, what do we got this week as our spotlight of a certain kind of alien craft? What'd you bring to the show?
I brought the Lucky Horseshoe. there is a... I know. Next, we need to try to find a clover for a spaceship. There is an alien craft that they refer to as Horseshoe because it is shaped like a horseshoe. Or some people might say that it's shaped like a magnet, your stereotypical U-shaped magnet, or just the letter U. there hasn't been a whole lot of features that people have been able to make out on these particular horseshoe or U-shaped UFOs. The vast majority have been described as black and highly reflective, so they'll reflect, you know, like nearby colors. So you have like the sky, or if you've got like a forest or something, there might be a little bit of green reflected off of the ship. I've also seen, which I'll talk about here in a bit, another person describes it as dark gray as opposed to black. and like I mentioned, because it's highly reflective, it does reflect some of the color of its surrounding environment. And so some people haven't been able to give an exact color of the craft. The perimeter lighting has been seen to be yellow-orange, and non-blinking. It has no sound, or at least no sound has been heard from the horseshoe craft, despite its habit of low-level flight. And it does not appear to bank to turn, but rather, as is common of a vehicle on its size, it rotates. So it just... And it seems like it's a very slow-moving craft, from what I can gather. I pulled up a couple of different stories that talk about the U-shaped craft. In 2012, this is coming from beforeitsnews.com, a couple years late, but in 2012, an Australian witness at Port Macquarie, might be saying that wrong, I'm sure Big John will come in and say what it is, but they captured a dark gray metallic-looking UFO while shooting photos looking west over nearby mountains. According to testimony in case 58741 from the Mutual UFO Network, MUFON. So the witness says, when I was checking out my footage later in the day, I saw what appeared to be a craft of moderate size zooming in and out of the clouds. The witness described the object photographed at about 1:30 p.m. on July 29th, 2012. It was a flat mushroom-shaped craft with a dark gray metallic look with highly reflective surfaces. They described it as a flat mushroom. I could kind of see that. But if you look at the image, I'll try to bring it up on the screen, it actually does look like a magnet or a very curved boomerang. Actually, you know what it looks like? It looks like a neck pillow. That's what it looks like.
There you go.
It looks like a neck pillow that you would buy at Walmart.
Yeah.
Or at Target or wherever.
Good call.
That's what it looks like to me. It just came to me. Neck pillow. So if you imagine if you have a white neck pillow and you toss it up in the air and take a picture, that's what it looks like. Ta-da!
Kind of reminds me of a Ferengi craft a little bit.
Okay. It's been driving me crazy. I was trying to figure out what fictional craft it reminded me of, and thank you, Brad, Ferengi. You're right.
So, there you go. And, let's see. So, in 2009, July 25th, actually, these are both in July. Weird. Maybe that's our favorite time of year. It's like their vacation season or something to visit Earth. They go in July of 2009. That's a good time.
Well, if it's if the sightings are in Australia, July is their winter.
Well, One was in July in Australia, and this one that I'm about to talk about is in Oklahoma.
Oh.
So you've got two different teams.
Oh,
where the wind comes rolling down the plain.
You guys beat me to it. I was about to say that.
So a Mustang in Mustang, Oklahoma, a witness reported seeing a 200-foot-long horseshoe-shaped object about 100 feet in the air on July 25th, 2009. Again, coming from the MUFON database, and this story itself is from theexaminer.com. The reporting witness is also a member of MUFON, and at a meeting, they discovered that two other members who lived in Tulsa, which is near Mustang, also witnessed the same object on the same night. So, kind of crazy. So they said that it seemed to be crawling over my head, over the edge of the house, and where I was standing about 10 feet from the porch, the witness said. I thought maybe it was a blimp, but it did not have that shape. The horseshoe shape was clearly defined, as was the two round fan-shaped objects at the end of each side of the horseshoe that seemed to be able to see through. So the witness was unable to actually capture the object with the camera, but they did draw a sketch of it. And if you imagine a magnet that you use to, find a loose nail or stick on the fridge, your typical U-shaped magnet, that is exactly what it looks like to me. So, U-shaped magnet.
The one thing that really kind of caught me about this shape of UFO is it makes the most sense of any of the craft that we've talked about. It makes the most sense when it comes to propelling a ship, right? Because it actually looks like it could have like two engines out the back. You know? It looks like two nacelles from Star Trek. It looks like kind of a...
Sure.
One could mistake it for like the Enterprise, the first one from the show Enterprise, sort of. That's that general shape with the two nacelles and then the saucer section, sort of.
Possibly. So, yeah, I can kind of see that. But, yeah, it's just a U-shaped object that doesn't seem to be one for speed. And because from what I can gather, it just tends to fly around slowly. And it doesn't bank. It just kind of stops and turns around and goes the other way.
So there's no reports of it, like, all of a sudden quickly taking off and just zooming out of sight?
Not that I noticed, but you never know. There might be one out there that I missed. At least one of these, they just happened to look up and see it. It didn't appear when they didn't see it come in, I suppose you could say. But they just looked up and they're like, oh, hey, there's an object there. I had no idea. So they didn't even notice it right away.
We saw a UFO this week, not like a UFO like we thought it was an alien craft or anything. We saw something in the sky that we pretty much for sure think it was like either a balloon or a quadcopter. But it's weird to see something like that in the air, right? It kind of kind of catches you off guard because you're like, what am I looking at? And then we finally figured out that those are the two possibilities it could be. It probably was not an alien craft, but it was cool to see.
Yeah. So, yeah, I've not really seen any UFOs. Most things I've seen have been satellites or airplanes. Occasional blimp if NASCAR is having a race over the Texas Motor Speedway. But, yeah, that's about it.
All right, good stuff there. I think we might have to dip back into the well of fictional crafts soon. I think we're running out of shapes. I've said it before, though. I could be wrong.
You said it before, and then I'm always surprised because there were a few other shapes that I saw that we hadn't gone over yet, so there's still stuff out there.
Is there a star shape UFO?
No, not that I remember, but there's a heart-shaped UFO.
Really? We'll save that for Valentine's Day.
Aww, it's so sweet. Yeah, they have a heart-shaped UFO. So.
Neat. All right. We'll have the links to this this story in the show notes. Actually, we'll include all the links that Anessa included in her story in the show notes of the podcast. So if you subscribe, which you should, click on those to read more. Well, we actually also include the show notes on the YouTube page, too. So if you like watching more than you like listening, you can click on, more details. Click on below and you'll find those links as well. All right. Let's talk about our picks for the week, stuff that we've watched, listened to, read, that kind of thing. And I believe I am up first. I'm up first. Okay.
You are.
Surprise!
Yeah. So my pick was Face Off. Have you guys ever watched the show Face Off?
I've seen an episode or two of it. But, yeah, I haven't seen it a lot.
I never watched it until, like, this new season. It's the 7th season already.
Wow.
But that could be, like...
I didn't realize it's been around that long. Well, but, yeah, I've sat down and watched a couple of episodes.
I think they have 2 seasons a year, so it's kind of cheating. But it's been around since 2011, and it's actually hosted by Michael Westmore's daughter. Does Michael Westmore, does that name sound familiar to you guys?
Mm-mm.
Star Trek, The Next Generation, Michael Westmore, he was the makeup artist for, I believe, starting with Next Generation, then going all the way through, like, all the incarnations of Star Trek, Deep Space Nine, Voyager, Enterprise, and then all the feature films from around Next Generation on.
Huh.
So his daughter is the host, skinniest thing ever, by the way, no waist at all, and he comes on once in a while and, like, helps out the contestants a little bit. So it's cool to see him and his take on... And basically, if you don't know what Face Off is, it's a bunch of makeup artists or aspiring makeup artists. And it's typical competition show, just like your Project Runway, just like your any kind of competition show with, you know, competition. So the episode... And somebody eventually wins. One person's left and they win. Anyways, this episode was alien-themed. It's season 7, episode 3, Ancient Aliens is the title. And no, that guy from Ancient Aliens was not on this episode, although that would have been awesome. So the contestants had to pick an ancient place in the world and use that location or the stuff that's at that location as an inspiration for their alien creature, which they, you know, they make the face and the head and all the whole thing. So some of the places that they had to choose from was the Giza Necropolis, Easter Island, Stonehenge, Machu Picchu, Pyramid of the Sun, and 2 more, which I cannot pronounce. You guys looking at that? Can you guys pronounce those? I think that's Peru, something in Peru. And then Angkor Wat. Peru.
Angkor Wat, yep.
Okay, Angkor Wat. So there's not much to tell. It's a cool show. It's if you're really into all the little what goes into making the creature masks that you see or the alien faces that you see on TV shows and movies, this is definitely the reality competition show that you want to watch. And it's neat the guests that they have on. And if, like I said before, Michael Westmore, the host's father, who was the makeup artist on Star Trek for the longest time, he made an appearance on this episode and I think 2 other ones as well. So I highly recommend it. Again, it's Face Off, Season 7, Episode 3. It's called Ancient Aliens, the alien-themed episode of this season.
Huh.
All right. Let's move on to our picks, or with our picks, to Brad. What did you watch?
So I actually watched something on Netflix called The Hidden Hand, Alien Contact and the Government Cover-Up. So it's very interesting. It's not necessarily conspiracy theory-based, but it kind of goes through and it has sort of subheadings of different things about either appearances of aliens or, you know, intent of aliens or things like that. People that have been abductees, people that have, mostly it's about abductees and people that have witnessed things. So like the Rendlesham Forest,
That's correct.
The Rendlesham Forest, out in England, they had somebody that was there that was actually on duty when that happened. Talk about that experience and just a really, really fascinating rundown of sort of the thought process as to what aliens are. And it didn't really settle on, you know, how we'd had the creature feature. They actually did talk about the Nordics. They did talk about the Greys. They did talk about actually energy-based life forms. That was really kind of fascinating. But, you know, there were abductees that talked about how they were a part of a hybrid program where they were actually making hybrid children between them and the Greys. And it was really kind of interesting because as they would interview different people, they had slightly different opinions based on their particular encounters. So it was really, occasionally you'd listen to this and you go, well, you're sort of contradicting this person. So it was like an attempt to give you and to make you informed about all of this stuff, but it's ultimately up to you to decide what you think it's all about. But it was really kind of interesting. It was not, it was more of a documentary style in filming and production quality. Definitely not the same quality as a big budget Hollywood film. Doesn't have that slick glossy look, but
there was a lot of like experts or like testimonials from people that we know, right?
Yes,
as I recall, because I've seen this.
Yeah, and it's really, really very interesting stuff. It goes all the way back to Roswell with the eyewitnesses, but they do have points where they talk about more alien or ancient occurrences. You know, with some, not architecture, but some of the artwork from the Aztecs, the Mayans, and things like that. So it kind of a comprehensive look at trying to explain why it's happening is really what I guess it's all about. So taking it from the abductee experiences and other witnesses and then kind of trying to assign a meaning to it. What is it all about? So that's really what this is all about. So I recommend if you've got an hour and a half and you're really fascinated with seeing actual, and they actually do a hypnosis where they, you know, somebody has it's an older gentleman. He's probably in his 50s or 60s, and he's had, it seems like, bouts of missing time, and he's actually gone to a hypnotherapist to kind of regress, to go back to that time period and try to uncover what happened during that missing time. And it's really kind of heart-wrenching. There are times when he's reliving this, and he's completely freaked out by the experience, and there's tears, and there's just, it's really, really kind of fascinating. So yeah, I do recommend it. I give it 3.5 stars. It's on Netflix, and it's called The Hidden Hand, Alien Contact, and the Government Cover-Up.
All right, excellent. Sweet. Love me a good documentary about aliens. It's good stuff.
Word.
All right, Anessa, you have the privilege, the honor of wrapping up the picks section for the week. So what do you got?
I have another documentary. Yay! Except this one's pretty short. It's like 22 minutes long, and it's called The White Mountain Abduction.
Okay, can I pause? Can I pause the show for a second?
Okay.
I think I have had both of your picks tonight as my picks in the past.
Really?
I'm just saying.
You never know.
Yeah, yeah.
It's very possible, but I've not actually gone through all the podcasts to listen to everybody's picks.
But that's okay. It's okay because we have a different take on them, right? I mean, you may think differently about something than I think about it, and you may get something out of it that I didn't get out of it. So this is completely cool. So I'm sorry. We'll continue on with the show. Anessa, The White Mountain Abduction. Go.
Yes. Founded on Amazon Prime. It is about Betty and Barney Hill's abduction in 1961. And it's following the, I believe it's their niece, who's a social psychologist or something, and she's wanting to look further into their recordings of their abductions and talk to other experts and whatnot to try to determine whether or not this is just a story that they made up or if it's something that they experienced, like genuinely experienced or genuinely believe that they experienced. And they play some of the original sessions, and initially when Betty and Barney went to the they went to go see some scientists, some doctors, to talk to them about what had happened to them. And it was supposed to be something that was confidential. And eventually it got leaked out to the public, and it became a big to-do, and they didn't really want all of that attention. They just wanted to keep it to themselves, work through their experiences with a professional, and have that be that. And so these two people ended up being tossed out, and come to find out that there was a lot of other people that ended up experiencing something similar. And these were just the beginning, I guess. But the person's conclusion was that she believed that her aunt and uncle actually experienced the abduction, and that Barney genuinely suffered from PTSD as a result. But yeah, it was just really interesting to hear. What was funny was partway through the documentary, there was like a UFO sighting. She had a ufologist that was on there that she was talking to, and then suddenly there's a ufologist. And so, yeah, and it was just really interesting to actually hear what Betty went on to do after Barney had passed away. She basically just kept on trying to search for UFOs. She ended up becoming a ufologist. So I thought that was pretty interesting.
And like what Brad said in his documentary, they also played the tapes, right, of them being under hypnosis. Am I correct?
Yeah, that's what I mentioned earlier, was they played the tapes from their sessions with the doctors and whatnot, of their accounts of what was happening. And so, you know, you had Betty that was talking about how she had her eyes open, but she couldn't really do much. And she could see Barney, and his eyes were closed. And he, I believe he was walking to these beings, and the beings were kind of telling them what to do, but they were telling them telepathically. So, and I forget where they were driving to and from, but they ended up losing time, and the trip shouldn't have been nearly as long as it was, and they expected to get there, I think, around midnight or fairly late at night, but they ended up getting to their destination around daybreak. So it was kind of crazy, but yeah, it's really interesting. I recommend giving it a watch, because even if you hate it, it's only 22 minutes long.
Not a big investment.
So you're not missing out like on a ton of your life. If you're at lunch at work one day and you're like, oh, let me just pop this in while I eat my food, then hey, it's not a complete loss because you ate food. You will live to see another day.
Now, the Betty and Barney Hill incident was pretty much the first publicized abduction, wasn't it? I mean,
yeah.
It was.
Yeah.
Like I said, because they were the first ones that came out, a lot more people followed, and they didn't realize that there were so many people that had experienced something similar, but nobody wanted to come forward, and they were kind of the reluctant people. They were pushed out into the spotlight. They didn't want this to be public. They wanted to work through this privately with professionals and try to figure out what was going on, and somehow, somewhere along the line, someone said, hey, we got these two people here that say that they've been abducted by people from outer space, and it just took off from there.
And it really kind of ruined their lives. I mean, they didn't start from a good place, because they were in an interracial marriage. He was...
Yeah.
So the way the documentary made it sound, though, is that their relationship was accepted in the community. It wasn't something that they received a lot of flack for.
Yeah.
I know, like, that time period, interracial marriage was still, like, a big to-do, and unfortunately, it still is to some people, but from what I gather, the community seemed pretty accepting, and both were very heavily involved with the actual community, doing stuff, being on various boards and teaching and whatnot. And yeah, they were a normal couple, and suddenly they were tossed out into the spotlight. And so I forget how or when Barney died, but like how many years later, but yeah, Betty just decided to pursue UFOs and try to find out more about them.
That's cool.
Do more research.
Cool story. Very cool story.
Yeah, it's really interesting. If you've only ever heard about these two people that have been abducted, like, you never really realized that they didn't want to go public. They weren't someone that, like, I'm going to call this radio station and be like, hey, I just saw a UFO, or I've been abducted by a UFO. They wanted to handle this matter privately, but unfortunately, or fortunately for other people, they were tossed out into the spotlight, and other people were more comfortable coming forward with saying, hey, I've experienced something similar, or I think I've seen something, and they weren't quite as ashamed of coming out. So they really opened the door for a lot of people.
Well, good for them for not doing it voluntarily, but good for them anyways.
So, yeah.
All right, great picks, guys. The White Mountain Abduction, The Hidden Hand, Alien Contact, and the Government Cover-Up, and Face-Off. Episode 3 of season 7, Ancient Aliens. And I forgot to mention that this kind of relates to, or this show that I had as my pick. It's kind of like the Jim Henson Creature Shop Challenge, but that actually came after this one. So Face Off is the precursor to the Jim Henson show, which I had a similar pick for when that was on the air as well. And you can watch both those shows on either Sci-Fi in the States and Space in Canada, or other places around the world, I'm guessing. Okay, then. That's going to do it pretty much for this episode of the Alien Invasion Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to us. We're on iTunes and Stitcher, or just go to galacticnetcasts.com/subscribe. Get a hold of us, 805-328-3966, or galacticnetcasts@gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Google+. Keep it up to date with what we have going on, including we post stories related to sci-fi throughout the week on our social channels. So we'll keep you up to date on the world of science fiction and science through social media as well. All right. So final things to do is to ask for your final thoughts. Brad, you go first.
I can't wait to do the next show.
The next show would be the Sci-Fi Geeks Club. Yeah. Oh, you know, we should cross-promote our shows more often, right?
That's why I was trying to lob you a softball there.
Okay. I get it. All right. Yeah. Okay. So
I was trying to be a good co-host.
Thanks. Yeah. And I would have been a good host by figuring out that's what you were trying to do. And not make it so obvious that's what we're trying to do. Sci-Fi Geeks Club... yeah, we do that along with this show. There are two shows on our network, Galactic Netcasts, and you can subscribe to that as well by going to the website. And yeah, we talk about just science fiction on the Sci-Fi Geeks Club. So come on over, watch us live. We do that Thursdays as well, and just follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Google Plus to find out when and where that's going to be. All right. So Anessa, what's your final thought?
Tico, tico, tico.
I don't get it, but I like it.
Tico, tico, tico.
Is there
a
story?
That's the sound of Mario going down the big tube.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. As we go down the big tube, we're out of here. Thanks for listening. Thanks for joining us for the Alien Invasion Podcast, number 114. And until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.
Bye.
Leave your hailing frequencies open and scanners on full, because another Galactic Netcast will be approaching your coordinates soon. For more information, go to galacticnetcasts.com.